This is the Overclocked Podcast, a weekly dose of video game music and conversation from ocremix.org.
This week, we dig up the story on Crypt of the Necrodancer Overclocked with EDM Mastermind Flex Style, brush up on our Capcom history with an episode of Root Note, and sing that very publisher's praises in a playlist that actually doesn't have very much Mega Man.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to episode 53 of the Overclocked Podcast. I'm your host, Brian, and joining me today is my brother and co-host, Steven.
Hello, denizens of the world. It is I, Steven. Wait, that sounds kind of like a supervillain intro.
You kind of sound like Dr. Wily. Yeah.
Ooh, good one. I feel like Dr. Wily would have a voice more like this, Mega Man.
But he would definitely say, hello, denizens of the world. You're basically just doing Skeletor.
All 80s cartoon characters sounded like that. Speaking of weird voices, Brian, I like how you've really dug into your radio persona this time. You got a good, smooth radio voice.
Oh,
going on.
Yeah. Definitely not because I have a cold.
It's a voice trained by years of vocal practices and a large pile of
stuffing
mucus.
My nose with cotton.
Yes.
Yeah. So I just, everyone take note of my extreme dedication. We are actually recording this on Saturday. I need to put it out on Saturday, so we're going to see how this goes.
I wonder if it'll go up on Saturday.
Probably next Saturday.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sick yet, but Brian is, so
yeah.
I think everyone should send him tweets with pictures of Kleenexes, and he'll feel better
yes.
right away.
I would very much appreciate that. So how have you been, Steven? You been doing anything video game music? Exciting?
Yeah, actually. Yeah. I was about to make a joke about how I haven't been doing anything interesting, but I've been playing that new Kirby
right.
game, Kirby Planet Robobot.
Yes.
Delightful. Carl was right. Speaking of Carl, he has a segment.
He does have a segment. He is going to be talking about Capcom, as we said.
That's why this is the Capcom episode.
Yeah, exactly. It's interesting because it kind of branches out from what Root Note has been before. Root Note has typically always been about a single musical genre, but it looks like this time he's going to delve into a company and
instead
where
of
they got
the roots of a
history.
Genre, it's the roots of Capcom, the Capcom roots. But before that, we're also going to talk with Flexstyle. You might also know him as Michael Birch, and he's been a longtime OCR dude. He does lots of electronic music. We've had him on the show before. Super nice guy that we met at Magfest. Last time we went.
Yeah, and also exciting in OC Remix is that finally the Super Mario RPG Window to the Stars album has been released. I don't know how much the community has been counting on this, but as someone who's been talking with the OCR staff, I know this has been a project they've been very excited about for a very long time.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to finally see that head out the door. It's a little, I'm a little disconnected because I never played that game. I started my Mario RPGs with the original Paper Mario and Mario and Luigi.
Yeah.
But I would certainly love to go back to it. And from what I hear, it has a very fantastic soundtrack.
That's what they say. I might just try listening to the album without any context and see what I think.
Yeah, exactly. And speaking of listening to the album, let's go ahead and head into our Remix Rewind. Let's look at the fun. A new album approaches.
This week we have six, count them, six wonderful remixes to showcase OCR's new three-disc album, Super Mario RPG Window to the Stars. One good collab deserves another, so head over to ocremix.org and see what wonders await when the OCR community meets this classic game from Nintendo and Square.
DDR Kirby ISQ is first out of the gate, sprinting through the Pipe House with the peppy, caffeine-infused chiptune remix, Super Mega Ultra Pipe House. It's a happy, familiar tune that waves to you, shouting a friendly, "Wahoo! It's-a me!" as it zooms by. We'll be right back.
Next up is Will Rock, taking on Super Mario RPG's boss theme in his synth rock reimagining, Fight Against a Somewhat Delicious Cake. It flies in formation with the original, but still has plenty of room for a few skillful stunts while it does.
Doc Nano takes us to Star Hill with his celestial offering, Just One Wish. Piano runs like clear water into a light-bathed symphonic field, and all too quickly, it flows away and is gone. Like a wish, this piece is fleeting, but carries powerful emotion.
Blind's Club King Bowser takes us to a Saturday night version of Bowser's Keep, where the Shy Guys are dancing, the Goombas are doing shots, and Lakitu is throwing down some sick beats from his hovering DJ booth cloud.
Meanwhile, on Yoshi Island, Remixer Amphibious shows us that those dinos know how to chill with a Yoster Sunset. It's a party of a different kind, with tiki torches and two umbrellas in every glass, watching the sun go down and the stars come out with your buds.
Last but not least, we have a collab in a collab about a collab, as Hylian Lemon and Phonetic Hero join forces to explore the sunken ship in their remix, Oyster Me Timbers. It's a drum-filled sea shanty, catchy enough to make a peg-legged pirate dance.
These remixes and more, head over to ocremix.org.
Welcome back to another In Tune interview, the part of the show where we talk to music makers about the music that they make and the albums thereof. I'm Steven, I'm your host. This should not be news to you at this point, but what is news is Crypt of the Necrodancer Overclocked. And we have Michael Birch, a.k.a. Flexstyle, here to talk to us about that very subject. Hey, Mike.
How's it going?
It's going pretty well. How are you doing?
You know, I'm doing pretty good at this point.
That's good. That was all just preamble that we didn't need to say. We already covered that before the show, but we need to show that we're considerate once the tape starts rolling. So thanks for coming back to the show, though. I haven't said that yet. I really appreciate you taking a little bit of time. It's very nice to, well, not see you again, but hear you again.
Well, yeah, I mean, and technically there's the Skype window that has your smiling mug on it, so that works for me.
That's a good point, yeah. And we did meet each other at MAGFest briefly, which was fun.
We did, and that was great, getting to meet you and Brian and
yeah,
put the face to the voice, as it were.
I don't know if anyone listening was able to go to OCR's, announcement / Street Fighter 2 tournament that was hosted at MAGFest, but that was good.
With the awful controllers, of course.
With the awful controllers, exactly. So, Mike, Crypt of the Necrodancer.
Yes.
That is a video game that came out a few years ago that is about dancing and making your way through all sorts of dungeons and that sort of thing.
Right. I describe it as a rhythm dungeon crawler where you must move to the beat. The enemies also move to the beat. You must attack to the beat, and if you do not, you die.
Yes, that is an apt description of it. This is a game I have actually played before, so I am familiar with that cycle of dance and death.
It's funny, I've played just a very little bit of it. I finally purchased it for my PS4 a while back and haven't had time to get past about, the first level or so.
Yeah, I actually, it's one of those rare games that I got invested in to an extent where I occasionally had to put it down because it was upsetting me so much.
Nice.
But that's all in a good way. Like, I got to the very last world and kind of had to back off because it was too tough. But one neat thing that's happened with that game is they are putting out DLC for it, which I think is called Amplified, right?
Yes, it's called the Amplified DLC. It's got a whole new character, bit of extra story to it, all that kind of good stuff. Oh, and some new music, I guess.
Yeah, that's what I hear. That's what I hear on the grapevine. So what's up with that new music and how the heck did that happen?
Well, Danny Baranowski, the composer for the game, of course, composed four new songs for this DLC because it's got three new stages as well as a brand new boss who is a rapping mole with an awesomely pun name, Fortissimole.
I love that.
For all you music nerds out there, you're going to chuckle at that a little bit if you have a sense of humor. But he's got these four new songs. And as is tradition with the Necrodancer series at this point, he had some people remix those songs. We had Family Jewels 7X, we had Girlfriend Records, we had A Rival, and these folks that, of course, have done the alternate soundtracks in the past. This time around, kind of to mark the DLC, he invited Overclocked Remix to contribute an entire remix album of not just the Amplified DLC tracks, but the entire soundtrack, as is kind of the tradition with the rest of the remixing crew.
And one of the really cool things about Crypto the Necrodancer is you can put any old song you would like into that game and play it.
Right. But of course, it's best played with the music it was designed for. At least that's my humble opinion.
No, I think you're completely right, because I have put all sorts of songs in there. Some work really well, some don't work really well, but it's pretty neat that they put an established DLC written by other composers and remixers to specifically be played on those levels in that game.
Right. And you may or may not have noticed this, but they are actually measure for measure the same songs, which is why they work so well. They are the same length, they are the same structure for the most part, or at least all the cues kind of hit at the same time.
Even have moments where there's, you know, the beloved shopkeeper in that game, and when you head over in his direction, you slowly hear this operatic vocaloid fade in and out. So I guess that's where you come into play, right? Because you organized this whole thing.
Well, first off, Danny Baranowski contacted DJ Pretzel and the Overclock Remix head staff members. Approached them about this idea of having OCR do this remix soundtrack. These guys were kind enough to talk to me because of the success I had at the Super Cartography Brothers remix album we did a while back, kind of bringing together a kind of an A team of electronic remixers. And so they handed the entire project off to me, and I got to kind of pick and choose the folks I wanted to invite on board and oversee that entire thing, be the quality control, and generally have kind of my fingerprints, such as they are, all over the entire thing.
And side note, I almost just called it electronic EDM music, which is the most redundant phrasing I think you could possibly...
No, electronic EDM dance music would be redundant.
You're right, you one-upped me. But yeah, that's really cool that OCR jumped into this one. It kind of reminds me of the old Super Street Fighter Hyper Turbo something something days.
HD remix,
there we go. So how did you guys get started? Like, how did you get this team assembled, and how did you work with is it Brace Yourself Games? I love that name so much.
Well, to kind of prove that I was, you know, a good enough fit, because Danny didn't know really who I was at the point that it was handed off to me, I did a quick mix, my first mix of the project, which was the lobby track. So I kind of cranked that out in a couple days, shot it over to Danny, was like, hey, here's what I can do, and this is kind of my bar of quality that I expect from this project, and that kind of sold him. So I just invited a bunch of people. I just kind of threw it out there to a bunch of people I know are really talented remixers and musicians in general. And I was like, hey, here's this project. Keep it hush hush because it's supposed to be under wraps for, you know, however long it ended up being. But hey, we get to be in a video game. We get to rep OCR. We get paid for it. I mean, what's not to love?
Yeah.
But I had some very strict deadlines, especially at first, when we thought this was going to be out in like August. So obviously that didn't happen.
Wow. Yeah.
But
yeah,
it meant that these folks were able to turn in like legitimately mostly completed tracks in about 2 to 3 weeks, which for those who know the usual way that Overclock Remix does things, that is amazing and unheard of.
Yeah, no kidding.
These people just really went above and beyond in terms of delivering a really high quality set of mixes really quickly. I had most of everything done. I was like 95% done with this project by, I'd say, the middle of August. Not counting the DLC tracks, which Danny hadn't even written yet at that point. Just because everyone really, really stepped up and did an amazing job.
I mean, the whole album has a really strong, cohesive style. Like, it all fits into the same Danny B-esque environment, even though everyone takes a slightly different spin on it. So how did you remixing for this album? Which tracks did you contribute?
I personally contributed to the lobby track, Rhythm Mortis, as well as Stone Cold, which is stage 3-1. Metalmancy, which was the death metal stage. And that one was fun. I went complete troll mode and turned this, you know, crazy metal track into happy hardcore, of course. I've been surprised that I haven't gotten the hate on it either. I thought I would get hated for the fact that I turned this, like, metal kind of, you know, soundtrack song into the cheesiest EDM genre that exists.
You'll get no complaint from me. Like, I mean, I love that stuff.
It's one of my guilty pleasure genres and one of my favorites in general. So, and then I also did The White to Remain, which is stage 4-3. Stages 3-1 and 4-3 were done with a couple of collaborators. Got to work with Nabil Ansari, a.k.a. Neblix. He had originally taken Stone Cold. I invited him to the project, but he wasn't able to finish it in time. So we worked out to where I actually ended up taking all the stems and finishing it myself. And it turned out really well. It has a flavor that I probably wouldn't have had if I'd just done the song myself. But that one has gotten really a lot of love from people, and it turned out really, really fun. Did the same exact thing with the White to Remain 4-3. DJ JD, aka Jake Diaz, aka Jake Snake 17 for the OCR OGs of yore. And he was going to go in a drum and bass direction. And I opted to kind of, again, take that one in more of a happy hardcore type direction, mostly because we already had a drum and bass remix thanks to a rival. That one has been kind of like my surprise hit. That one's been the one that has been mentioned by name on like different comments and reviews, and I've been flabbergasted that people have liked it so much.
That's cool. I love it when those little surprises, especially the surprises where you work with someone else,
right,
pop up. That's,
and again,
cool stuff.
It's one of those tracks where it wouldn't have the same feel if I had done it myself.
Yeah.
And I'm really, really glad that that extra flavor from Jake was in there, even if he wasn't able to finish the entire thing himself.
Well, I mean, especially when you consider you're remixing, you know, Danny's original work. There's a lot of cooks in this kitchen.
I mean, I was remixing a remix of a remix.
Yes.
Kind of.
Exactly.
You know.
Now that you're done with this project and it's in the bag, what else are you working on?
Well, it's actually not 100% in the bag because we are going to try and release a collection of extended mixes. Prototype Raptor has actually released 3 out of his 4 already on his Bandcamp, kind of taking what he did for the project and extending it and adding some original riffage to it. We're going to try and have at least a few more tracks like that that we get to release as a collection at some point in the not truly determined future. I'd like to do it around the same time as the consoles are released, but I need to do a little more organization to make sure we can actually hit that.
Yes.
And that's kind of an optional, you know, new game plus type of thing anyway. So there's that. But the other thing that's kind of come out of this project is Overclock Records has asked me to try and do things like this and things like Super Cartography Brothers a little more often and, you know, have some kind of regular release schedule. So we're just trying to work out some of the details of that and make it so that we can do these like really, really high quality projects on a more regular basis.
Are you talking specifically EDM mixes, big scale EDM albums, or you know?
EDM is going to be the focus for sure because that is my wheelhouse.
Yeah.
And that is what a lot of the people I'm working with are really good at. The ones I know who can deliver a high quality project on time are going to be these EDM type folks.
Right.
If we can try and do these releases of video games that everyone knows and loves and just put this really, really high-end sheen onto these remixes and do it on a regular basis, that is, you know, ideally what we could accomplish as part of the Overclock Records way of doing things at this point.
So I am sure you're not announcing anything yet or putting things on Twitter or whatnot, but do you have any ideas?
We have a couple of ideas. And again, no promises, but we've got a couple of concept albums. Shark Ansari, Dark Sword, is really good at coming up with these different concept albums.
Yeah.
He was kind of the driving force behind the idea for Super Cartography Brothers, which was the Mario map themes EDM album that I got directed a while back. And so kind of some ideas we have are taking some of the Zelda Ocarina songs, the little short riffs, and turning those into EDM tracks. Or maybe some of the Sonic 2-player stages.
Oh, yeah, that's also a good idea.
So that's the idea, is take some of that, you know, slightly underloved but still from a very major franchise. And, you know.
Guys, if you do like some sort of Kirby spinoff EDM album, I will be so happy.
Ooh, there's a good idea.
That would be so fun.
I love Kirby music in general.
Because it's so like frantic and constant.
Right.
And fun and upbeat. I think that, I don't know, that would be really neat.
Yeah. And I mean, I'd love to see something like a Bastion album just kind of riffing here. That's one of my favorite games personally.
Oh, yeah.
Even, you know, going down in scope to just a few select tracks from that would be super sweet. I don't think anybody's actually done that, really. You know, a lot of these games that are pretty smash hits, but maybe we can, you know, do kind of the same thing we did with the Necrodancer track, the album there, and maybe get the original composers involved in something. I don't know. Yeah. I'm just kind of riffing at this point.
That's great. I'm really hopeful for some cool collaborations to come out of that. Here's my last question before we go. If people are going to pick up Necrodancer, what are some cool albums that you would recommend plugging into that game, even if they weren't, you know, designed for it?
First off, anything by Prototype Raptor, who has, I believe, 4 tracks on this project. At least 2 of them are playable in-game. And dude freaking slayed those tracks. He really brought the heat, and I highly recommend his kind of like original extensions of those songs that he has on his Bandcamp right now. prototyperaptor.bandcamp.com. Hashtag get the swag.
Because I know the one that I remember using that I really liked was from Zone Runners, which is the sort of Sonic the Hedgehog rap collaboration between Halsey and DigiValentine and Sergey. And they put out a single called Angel Roots, and it has a really interesting rhythm, and it actually makes the game play significantly different than you would get with your kind of the Danny B style of, you know, EDM inspired stuff, because your steps are off to a different beat.
Okay.
And so you really have to pay attention and get into a different frame of mind for that to work well, and it was awesome.
So I'm just looking at my Bandcamp right now, and some of the stuff that I tend to support a lot. Anything from Monster Cat, which is a record label. They have a big old presence on Bandcamp and a bunch of stuff. They have these different collections of songs. You can, you know, get about 30-something tracks for about $10, most of which are really, really solid. They're solidly in the EDM. You'll find a lot of house and electro and trap and drone bass and happy hardcore and stuff like that from them. So that's always, you know, solid rhythmical type music.
Very nice.
I'm looking here. There's an artist called Scandroid, which is a side project of a guy named Clayton, alias Cell Dweller. The Scandroid album is phenomenal. It's this very synth wave, you know, lush 80s kind of vibe. A shout out to my guy Binster, who is a one of the OCR OGs. Actually, he's kind of, you know, a long time name on OCR, but he does really, really solid original work as well.
Side DLC. Anything can be DLC in this game.
Right.
Very cool. All right. Well, let's wrap this up, Mike. I think we covered the basics. Any parting words for this project?
Just that the entire thing is, I think, pure gold from start to finish in terms of song quality. The 16 different artists that contributed did a really phenomenal job. Robo Rob went above and beyond as my mastering engineer.
Mm.
And it was just kind of the, can you just fix this one last track that I had to get? This one last one. No, really, yeah. I promise this is the last one.
Because that album sounded good.
Yeah.
Like, and it was so smooth.
The fact that it was so uniform is very much thanks to Rob's hard work getting the entire thing mastered. And I didn't have the time to do it myself, as it turned out, and so Rob took over that part of the project and really did a killer job. I don't think I could have done any better than he did.
Well, that's great. Good job, Bob.
I'm very proud of how that all turned out. But every single one of these folks is worth finding online and following their music. You know, we had guys who have kind of appeared on OCR projects and stuff in the past, and a couple guys who were OCR longtime faces and a little bit of... not really seen a lot before on OCR, and it just, you said this earlier, it's just really, really cohesive from start to finish, and I'm not sure that I'm the one who can really take credit for that. It just worked out really well with these folks, and I'm super proud of them.
That's wonderful. That's, yeah, good job, guys. It really did turn out well. And you can find it on Overclocked Records, like I mentioned before, overclockedrecords.com, probably. I don't know. You'll find
it. Also on, we started a Bandcamp page specifically for this, ocrecords.bandcamp.com.
Oh, quite nice. I did not know about that.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Where can people find you, though?
They can find me on the internet.
On the internet? How novel.
You can find my SoundCloud, soundcloud.com/flexstyle. I'm on Twitter and Facebook at Flexstyle Music. I'm on Bandcamp, flexstyle.bandcamp.com, which I also have a game soundtrack that might be worth putting into NecroDancer at some point. I have the Trace Vector soundtrack, which is a fun synthwave,
type deal. Excellent.
So that's me pretty much.
All right, dude. Well, thanks a lot for coming by. It's fun to see you again. And let me know what happens with the other projects, and we'll get you back on the show.
All righty.
And for now, loyal listeners, we're going to head back to the rest of the show.
Hi there. This is Carl from the Super Mercado Brothers. Today I'm going to be exploring one of the most iconic musical traditions in all of video games. I'm talking about the classic Capcom sound. If you don't know what exactly I'm referring to, fear not. By the end of this segment, you will. First, I'll share the outside genres that influenced early Capcom composers. Then I'll talk about the musical elements they utilized in order to create that classic Capcom sound. Finally, I'll share specific examples from various genres and bands that both embody those elements or that were influential on a broad level. Okay, so what are the roots of the classic Capcom sound? Where did it come from? After doing extensive research, I can tell you that it came from a handful of places. The Capcom composers in the 8 and 16-bit eras fused together many influences to create a perfect blend of melodic rock music that is singular and unique in the context of music history. It's like they created a recipe in which they handpicked a few choice ingredients and mixed them up for delicious results. Here are their ingredients. 80s rock and heavy metal, 70s and 80s jazz fusion, prog rock, and finally, a little bit of pop emotion sprinkled in. You mix that together and add the unique tastes of the composers themselves, and you have the basis of the classic Capcom sound. As far as particular artists go, the ones I found that were the most influential were Europe, Iron Maiden, Jethro Tull, and T-Square, just to name a few. I'll share more about them as we go. While there were many different styles that the Capcom composers explored, one particular style popped up time and time again, and it was especially striking and powerful. That's the sound I'm talking about today. What are the musical elements that make up this classic Capcom sound? Here we go. It's minor key music that is rocking, high energy, up-tempo, with strong harmonized leads, either synth or guitar, and those leads are playing powerful, lyrical riffs over an energetic rhythm section. Okay, so before we explore each of those elements in depth, let me mention a couple of things. There surely were other composers and companies that explored this classic style of video game music as well, but while you see it pop up in games by Falcom, Konami, Tecmo, and many more, I would argue that no other company in the 8 and 16-bit era incorporated it as consistently or effectively into the fabric of their identity as Capcom. Now, there is perhaps no greater embodiment of this style in Capcom's library of games than Mega Man. Mega Man 2, which was first released in 1988, was really a turning point for the series, and a huge one for video game music in general. Composer Takashi Tateishi established some of the specific rhythmic and harmonic elements that would become commonplace in game soundtracks across the board. Other Capcom games such as Breath of Fire, Street Fighter II, UN Squadron, the X-Men series, and many more feature this classic sound. The first musical element of the sound that I'm talking about today is found in the bass. It's this rhythm. To me, it evokes the rhythm of riding a horse. Therefore, let's refer to this as the bass gallop. It's very frequently doubled with the drums. What this does is lay a solid rhythmic bed for an exciting melody to dance on top of. Now, this bass gallop, especially in the context we're talking about today, was popularized in 1980s heavy metal. Here's an example from the song Wasted Time by the band Europe. Or how about from their most famous hit? That leads me to the next musical element, the chords. There are particular chords that pop up all the time in Capcom games, but if I had to pick one chord change that was the most iconic for the Capcom sound, and really for almost all of video game music, it would have to be the minor 1 chord to the major 6 chord, sometimes by way of passing through the 7. It's a simple but powerful chord change that lends itself to being repeated over and over. Now this, again, was popularized in 1980s rock and heavy metal. You just heard it in some of those examples, but here's another. This became almost a cliche in video games. Take a listen. We'll call this chord change the 1-6. Now, that relates to the next musical element I'll be talking about, repeated riffs. One of the most characteristic techniques in the style that we're exploring today is establishing a riff, then repeating that riff, either verbatim or with slight variations, over the second chord. You can go back and forth forever and it feels great. That again came from 80s heavy metal. Here's an example from the Iron Maiden song, The Trooper. Now, what do you know? That leads me to the last musical element I'll be discussing, dual harmonized leads, either guitar or synth. The Mega Man series got so much mileage out of this technique, but let's quickly trace where this came from. Rock bands started to first experiment with harmonized leads in the 60s. Here's an early example of the Beatles trying their hand at it in 1966. It became pretty dang popular in the 70s. Here's Steely Dan exploring it in 1972. Or how about Thin Lizzy in 76? What's important is not just that you're hearing a harmonized guitar line, but that it's very melodic and lyrical. That's what early Capcom composers took to heart. And also, they composed these lines with many syncopated offbeat rhythms, bordering on Latin at times. Even if the bass stays on one note, the changing harmonies of those lines add complexity to the pedal bass. The harmonized lead writing in Capcom games is many times very beautiful and expressive, which is overlooked due to the rocking coat of paint. Even a breezy, child-friendly game like Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers. If you wait for it, you'll eventually hear the classic Capcom sound. Okay, the last part of this segment I'm really excited about. Since I took the time to track down a lot of examples of outside artists from the 70s and 80s, let's take a listen to a handful that particularly stood out to me as far as being influential to the Capcom sound. First, let's listen to more of the band Europe. Here's a montage I put together of a few key moments featuring harmonized, rocking riffs over very video game-friendly chord changes. Classic Mega Man stuff. Another band that really stood out to me was Iron Maiden. Here's a montage of moments from them that capture that same harmonized rocking energy, but really nailing that idea of repetition over changing chords, many times the 1-6. These make me feel like I'm shooting my way through Dr. Wily's castle. We'll be right back. In the 16-bit era, composers were able to more clearly approximate an actual rock band, such as with Mega Man X. So these influences became even clearer. It was clear these lines were evoking shredding guitars. In the 80s was a decade where the guitar gods loomed large. Here is a taste of a handful of heavy-hitting 80s guitar shredders that may have been influential to 16-bit era Capcom composers. But the inspirations go back even further than that. Early hard rock bands such as Deep Purple were clearly an influence as well. Deep Purple's tune Burn definitely feels like the right level of high energy rock. We also can't forget prog rock bands such as Kansas or Jethro Tull. Their sense of freedom and willingness to incorporate music of an older era definitely had some influence on the Capcom composers as well. The last genre I'm going to talk about is jazz fusion. As I dove deeper, I found some unbelievable similarities to the Capcom sound that would eventually come years later. This track, by American jazz fusion band The Rippingtons, reminds me of later games in the Mega Man X series. Now, Japanese jazz fusion bands had even more direct influence on the classic Capcom sound, especially once it moved to the 16-bit era and started to incorporate more synth and jazz energy, with the later X games and other titles such as Rockman and Forte. Here's the last montage of the day. This is a collection of moments from Japanese fusion bands T-Square, Yellow Magic Orchestra, and Cassiopeia that have major Mega Man vibes. Well, that was fun. I hope this gave you a better understanding and appreciation for just how special the old-school Capcom musical tradition was. We still enjoy its impact to this day, and I, for one, am grateful for that. Well, that's it for me. Thanks for listening, and rock on, everyone!
What a show! What a show.
I couldn't have said it better myself.
You probably could have, because you don't have a cold. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today. You can find out more about OC Remix at www.ocremix.org.
That is full of truth, and so is our Twitter account. You can find that at OCR Podcast, and send us some playlist submissions. We didn't fill up this time. We didn't hit maximum playlist number. I want more.
Exactly.
But seriously, thanks everyone for submitting. They're great. They're awesome. Yeah. And I love all of you. But I want more!
If you want to submit a playlist submission along with a few paragraphs of prose, like Sin used to do, You can email us at podcast@ocremix.org.
Yes. Thank you, Sin, actually, for continuing to write all these excellent Remix Rewinds. It certainly makes our job easier.
Indeed. And thank you, Mike, for the interview. And thank you, Carl, for doing your Root Note segment.
Oh, yes, that is well said, Brian, well said. Okay, well, you can stop talking now and go to sleep or whatever you want to do, because now we're going to finish off the show with what I like to call, because that is its name, the playlist. The playlist is a weekly collection of listener-submitted recommendations so we can all discover music together. This week's theme is Capcom.
Main theme from Rockman X Over and submitted by Kyle JCRB.
Music 1 from Devil May Cry 3 and submitted by Square Evil. Congratulations, everybody, from Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney and submitted by Major Third. Theme of M. Bison from Street Fighter 2X and submitted by Ano. Abandoned Memory from Mega Man 10 Image Soundtrack and submitted by Phoenix Down.
past, present, and future perfect. Originally from The Legend of Zelda Oracle of Ages, remixed by Protodome, and submitted by Genghis Dani.
Mansion Basement from Resident Evil, Director's Cut, and submitted by me.
Into Free Dungeon from Dragon's Dogma and submitted by me. You've been listening to the Overclocked Podcast. Next week's playlist is Water Music. Dive deep for some good aquatic tracks, and no, you can't submit the water theme from Super Mario Bros.
Or just say sploosh.
Hit us up on Twitter at OCR Podcast. Email us at podcast@ocremix.org or visit us on the forums at ocremix.org. This week's lyrical wisdom.
I want to take you for a ride. 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 I want to take you.